you have longed for sweet peace, hath our faith to increase, and I'll earnestly, fervently pray. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid, your heart of the Spirit control?
I'd like for to just take a word of prayer again. As we begin this morning, praise the Lord. Let's pray, Father, again. We will not be tired of praying. We call on your name. We call on the Holy Spirit again to bring forth help to us. When the disciples preached the word, they didn't preach for men to hear. They preached so that men can see. Help us this morning that we can see your word. Make your word bear. Make it known to us. Make it clear. In the name of Jesus, make your word visible to our sight, dear Father. In the name of Jesus, those on Facebook and even those on Telegram, we just ask that your word will resound with freshness. In the name of Jesus, your word will come with power. We will see what your burden is, and you will cause us to run and to run well. How we thank you, Father, this morning. How we trust that your Spirit will lead all that we will be doing. How we trust that your thoughts will be our thoughts, your will be our will, your desires will be our desires. Thank you, Father. Please be gracious to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This morning, it's a pleasure to come with the gospel again. Give the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to ensure that the truth of God's word is heard. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 21, as we take an opening chart this morning. Disciples and their devotion. Let's begin from the Old Testament this morning. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 21. Praise God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, in Deuteronomy 21, verse 10, the Bible brought out some very wonderful issues I want us to consider this morning. The Bible says, when thou goest forth, look at the word of God clearly, when thou goest forth, right, to war against thy enemies, and the Lord thy God had delivered them into thy hands, and thou hast taken them captives, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and has a desire unto her that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head and pale her nails, verse 13, and she shall put the remnant of her captivity from off her, and she shall remain in thy house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that, thou shalt go in unto her, and she shall and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning to our heart. In the name of Jesus. This morning, just to introduce disciples and their devotion 3.0, I want us to look at this passage clearly and closely this morning. Just to introduce the conditions or requirement for discipleship. What is it that God wants? What is God really, really looking for when God is seeking for disciples? What is the passion? What is the burden of the Lord when he's looking for disciples? And what is it that needs to be done for disciples to be made? I want you to see this passage very profound with me this morning as we look at the word of God. Now, the Bible says, when thou goest forth to war against thy enemy. So I want you to see that God needed to teach Israel warfare, strategies for warfare. God needed to teach Israel what it takes to win war. So God has the template. God has the standard. God has all it takes to win a war. He said, when thou goest forth to war against thy enemy, not if. So fighting war is ours. We are born into this world to fight. We are born into this world to war. Once you are born, the Bible said, the race, you know, set before you, born to run a race. You're born to fight battles. The Bible did not say, if thou. No, it's not a matter of if. It said, when thou goest forth to war. It's the same thing with the Lord's Prayer. It said, when thou prayest. Did you see that now? So, when thou goest forth to war. Don't forget in chapter 20, verse 1. It's the same thing. The same Deuteronomy 20. The same Deuteronomy 21. 20 says, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and see horses and chariots. When? So battles are real. 21 verse 10. When thou goest forth to war against your enemies. So the first thing we're underscoring this morning is that God was teaching Israel strategies for warfare and what to do after warfare. All right. Now, what God was teaching them in the Old Testament is the New Testament reality. In the New Testament, this war has a direct application to our lives. When thou goest forth to war against thy enemies, God says to them, and the Lord thy God had delivered them into thy hands. Now, I want you to see that they are going forth to go and fight. But the Bible said, the Lord thy God has delivered thy enemies into your hands. Hallelujah. He did not say, when thou goest forth to fight against thy enemies, and by your skills, you deliver, or your enemies are delivered by your skill. It's not skills, it's not weapons, it's not wisdom, it's not, it said the Lord thy God. So number two, I want you to know that the Lord who gave the template for warfare will be the Lord that will give the deliverance. You'll be wondering, what has this to do with discipleship? I want to just follow me carefully. Now, when the Lord thy God had delivered them into thy hands, and thou had taken them captives. They are not taking them captives because they are very skillful. They are not taking them captives because they are very powerful. They are not taking them captives because they know what they are doing. How are they taking them captives? Because the Lord thy God has delivered them into your hands. Now, what should you do with them when the Lord thy God has delivered them into your hands? Verse 2, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman. This is where we are going. This is where we are going. So what is this story? This story is the story of love. This story is the story of God going to war, the war at the cross of Calvary. God needed to go and fight to reclaim you and I from the hands of the devil. Don't forget that Adam sold us in the Garden of Eden. And so it took a war on the cross. When thou goest forth to war against thy enemy. Now, so the direct application is the fact that God went to war against our enemies. Our enemies, God went to war against the devil. God went to reclaim us from the hands of the devil, whom Adam sold us to. Now, God went to war. He was teaching Israel how to handle it, how he is going to, or how he is handling his own. God was teaching Israel. God told Israel what to do because this is what he is doing. Hallelujah. God does not teach what God will not do. So God was teaching Israel, when thou go, this is how to do it, because this is what he has done for us. What is God and what has God done for you and for me? God went to war. He fought hell at the cross of Calvary. God defeated Satan at Calvary and delivered the captives into our hands. God delivered them and led captivity captive and free us from our enemies. Hallelujah. God has done that. That war of verse 1 is conquered. The cross is the internal final world war that was supposed to be war against mankind. God defeated Satan, the Bible says, once and for all. Jesus will never climb the cross the second time because the job was cleanly done. It was neatly done. It was beautifully done. The cross, oh, handled it so beautifully. Hallelujah. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the greatest war, and God won victory for us. But look at verse 11. When Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, and we were all delivered from the hands of our enemy. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman. When God went to war to fight hell, to fight Satan, to defeat the mandates of the devil against your life and my life, the Bible says, God saw there a beautiful woman. God saw among the captives he captured from the war. God brought, you know, captives from the war, but as he was bringing them, there was a beautiful wife among them. He saw, look at verse 2, and seest among the captive a beautiful woman. God saw the church. God saw you.
God saw me. Look at the verse 2 there, verse 11. And sees among the captives a beautiful woman. Sister, you are the one. God saw. I mean, it was a serious battle. You know, there were a lot of smoke. There were a lot of fire burning. There were a lot of things that have happened. Blackness. Our faces were black as captives from the war. While God was drawing us away from the hands of our enemies, God also saw a beautiful brother there. God saw a beautiful sister there. God saw you. God saw me. And seest thou among the captives a beautiful woman. Hallelujah. In the midst of the black charcoal, in the midst of the fire and the shootings and all that was going on, according to Isaiah chapter 9. You know, Isaiah chapter 9 prophesied about this. Now, there was war and there was smoke. You know, there was bloodshed. There was bloodletting in the midst of the war, verse 11, and sees among the captives a beautiful woman. God saw a beautiful church. God saw a beautiful you. God saw a beautiful me. And see among the captive a beautiful woman. You were the beautiful woman God saw. You were the beautiful church that God saw among the captives, a beautiful woman. Look at it. That's the first thing. And I want to thank God this morning that God could see. Look at it. And sees among the captive. God's eyes got your attention. God's eyes came neatly to you. God's eyes were zoomed at your direction. Sears among the captive. God's eye distilled itself down to where you were. You were the beautiful woman in the midst of the captives. You are not the only captive. The whole world was in captivity. The whole world were redeemed. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The whole world were won from the battle. But in the midst of the battle, God saw you. Who has given your life to him now? God saw you, who is becoming a disciple now. God saw you and sees among. And I want to thank God this morning that his eyes came to my direction. I'm able to preach today. I'm able to read the Bible today. I'm becoming a servant of God today because God saw me there. The relevance that we have in our generation, any man, I want you to know, Komuyi, God saw him among the captive. Komuyi is one upon a time, a captive. He's a captive of the cross. He was there. God saw him. God saw E.A. Adeboye. God saw T.D. Jakes. God saw you. God saw me. Look at verse 11. And see among the captive. We were all lost. We were in the captivity of the devil. And this should humble you and it should humble me. The reason why we must become disciples is that we were captives. We were captured. We were lost in sin. We were of the devil. God took a war on the cross to redeem me and to redeem me. And sees among a captive. Sister, you are only free from immorality. You are not among the prostitute because God saw you there. And I want you to be grateful to the Lord. He saw you. Sees among the captive. His eyes went through and saw you. That's why you gave your life to Christ. It was the eyes of love. It was the eyes of pity. It was the eyes of compassion. He saw you among the billions on earth and he saved you. And sees among the captive a beautiful woman. Sister, I want you to know that you are beautiful for Jesus. A man may not have come your way, but you are beautiful for Jesus. Brother, a man may not have come your way, but you are beautiful for Jesus. And saw among the captive a beautiful woman. The church is a beautiful one. Oh, this is how God got the church. Hallelujah. The church was in the midst of the rubbles, in the midst of the death, of the smoke, of the fire, in the midst of the decays of war. God saw the church. God saw you, a beautiful sister. That's why you are here. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, I'm grateful that you saw me. Thank God that his eyes came my way. The eyes of love. The eyes of compassion. And see among the captives a beautiful woman. Look at the next line. And has a desire unto her. Wow. In the midst of that, God saw a beautiful woman, but not just a beautiful woman to look over. Sometimes you see a beautiful wife, a beautiful girl, a beautiful, not all beautiful people you want to have a desire. They are beautiful, but they are not meant for you. All Miss War people are not, they are not in your house as your wife. And see a beautiful woman, God saw you. Number two, he took an action and has a desire unto her. God desire you. Even though in sin, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Why are you a child of God? Not because you will, not because you can run, not because you are powerful, it was because God saw you a beautiful child. Now you are not even the best of what God is looking for, but don't worry. Don't worry, God has seen you, that you will change. God is hoping that one day you will be exactly what he saw. There's something God has seen ahead of you, brother. There is something about you that God saw that he saved you. Not just that, he desired to have you. Hallelujah. And God desire, you have a desire unto her. That's number two. A desire, a love pool, a luring, an attraction. You are not just beautiful, you are beautiful to be desired. You know, the Bible says the desires of the nation shall come to him. You are one of God's desire and desire to, hallelujah, and desire, God desire to have you. And has a desire unto her. Now, why are you being saved? Why did the love of God come to you? It's because God desire you and God wanted you. And you know what God wants? God will have. I say what God wants, God will have. You cannot even deny him. You can deny him, but if he has you, if he wants you, if he desire you. And today we are looking for people that God has desired. There are beautiful sisters still lost in sin, even though God has captured them. There are beautiful brothers still lost in sin, even though God desired to have them. And so our discipleship is an attempt to reach out, to look for men and women that are beautiful, that God has died for, and God has desired to come close to them. Look at the third thing there, that thou would have her to thy wife, and God wants you to be his wife. That's the third thing from the sight of God. Three things. God saw you, God desire you, and God want to have you. God saw you. You are beautiful. God desire you. God want to marry you. God want to bring you home. God want to draw his affection with you. God want you to be in his home. He desire you that though you are a captive now, though you are still lost in sin now, though you are struggling with one sin or the other, he desired you to be his wife. The church today is being bastardized, and yet it is the desire of Jesus. The church today is being wounded by all kinds of Boko Haram, all kinds of attacks from all angles, but it's still a church Jesus loves. It's still beautiful. It's still a church God desire. God desired the church for his wife. I mean, for his son. The church is the wife of Jesus, and Jesus is the husband of the church because Jesus saw that she's beautiful, even though dirty, even though in the midst of rubbles, even though a captive from war, even though filled with smoke, even though black face, God still desire you. Hallelujah. And he will have you to be his wife. What a passion. What a love story I'm telling you this morning. This is a story of our salvation. This is a story of the church. Now, this is from the side of God. Three things from the side of God. What are the conditions from you now? Number one, verse 12. Then thou shalt bring her home to thy house. So number one, God saw us lost in the midst of merry clays, lost in the midst of sin. God drew you home. God saw that you are beautiful, number one. God desired to have you. And I hope you will not waste his desire. May you not waste the desires of God. God desire you. And then God will have the church to be his wife, the wife for his son. What did he do? Number four, then thou shalt bring her home to thy house. Number four, God want to draw you close to his home, to his house. God want to, you, some of us, you are too far away. God want you nearer. God want you in his house. God wants you in his abode. Then thou shalt bring her home. What is the use of loving somebody and the person is at the jungle? Why love somebody and is always at the jungle? Why love God and you are still far away? The Bible said, then thou shalt bring her home to a house. You know, the house of God, the kingdom of God. Won't God want to bring you to his church? God wants you to be his own. Are you still lost far away? Why are you wasting the sight of God? Why are you wasting the desires of God? Why are you wasting the time that God wants to marry you? God wants you to come nearer and nearer. Now, but what are the conditions? God is going to do four things. You are going to do four things. When God has seen you, when God has heard you, when God desires you like that, I'm dealing with God's passion for the church. I'm dealing with God's passionate desire to have you. I'm dealing with the love story between God and the church, between God and man. Look at verse 4. What is your response when God has seen you, that you are beautiful, he desires you and he wants you to be his wife, and he has brought you home for those of us, and I'd like you to see that, then thou shalt bring her home to thy house. This home is the home of discipleship. This home is the home of making. You were beautiful outside there, but God still need to clean you up. How can you marry a wife and there are no things to clean? That you may wash her and purify her. But where would that be done? It will not be done in the jungle. It will not be done in the war front. Then thou shalt bring her home. Discipleship is bringing a disciple home for training. Discipleship is God's brushing. Discipleship is God's purifying. Then thou shalt bring her home to thy house. And I want to ask you, are you already home? And some of us were home in the church, but we are not being discipled. You are home, but you are not being trained. You are not being recruited. You don't know that God needs to bring you home. And, you know, there is a home culture. There's a home lifestyle. There is a home training. There is a culture of the kingdom of God where you need to be brought home to be trained. That's discipleship. Then thou shalt bring her home. The church is the home of God, where God recruits men, where God plans to disciple and, you know, purify and sanctify you so that you can become a glorious light, a glorious church. Then thou shalt bring her home. And we're asking you, are you home? Are you home in the hands of the Lord? Are you being discipled? Are you being prepared? Is somebody overseeing your making? Is somebody sitting on you like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap? Are you home? That's from God's angle. Now, but look at more. From your own side now, look at verse 12. Then thou shalt bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head. That's the first thing. That's the first condition if you're going to be Jesus' bride. He saw you from afar. He desired you from afar. He wanted you to be his wife, all from afar, verse 11. Verse 12, he brought you home to his house, not to remain the way you were. What must you do? Look at the first response you must do. Number one, she shall shave her head. Look at it. She shall, not he shall. She, the woman that have been desired from afar, the woman that have been loved from afar, the woman that have been seen, the church that have been seen from afar must be brought home. But immediately she is brought home, she takes over her condition. There are things she must do to be the bride of Christ. There are things she must do to remain a disciple. What is the first thing? She shall shave her head. You know, when I read it, I was wondering, shave her hair or shave her head? The Bible says head. She shall shave her head. There is the head that you wear as a captive. There is somebody that used to be your head when you were in captivity. There is a head that you used to have. Satan, the devil, used to be your head. The Bible says, immediately you are brought home, you need to shave that head. Remove the head. You need to change ownership of possession. You need to remove your head from where your head was to another head. The head of Christ is God. The head of the church is Christ. And the head of every man is who? The head of every man is Christ. And the head of every woman is the man. That's the organogram. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. The church, a man is the head of the woman. And the woman's legs are on the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. The Bible says, number one, what is the condition required for us to grow, to have intimacy? God wants Jesus to marry us as a church, but not with another head. You cannot bring the head of captivity into the kingdom of God. No. The Bible says, and she shall shave her head. Look, I understand that it's dealing with cutting off your hair. I know that. All right? I know that. But much more than that, the Bible says, and she shall shave her head. Remove your head first. It could be the hair in your head that grew with Satan, your head that grew when you were with the devil. God says, shave your head. Cut off your head. Cut off your head from the wrong head to put your head in Christ. What am I saying as the first condition to become God's instrument? If God is going to sleep with you, if God is going to have intimacy with you, you must shave your head. Several of us, we came into the kingdom. God brought you home into the church, but you are still maintaining your former head. You are still maintaining the head that you used to be where you were coming from. And so God is struggling with you. One time you are, Christ is your head. Another time somebody else is your head. You are between Satan and the devil. You are between Satan and God. God does not, you say, thou shalt shave your head. He is not the one. Jesus is not the one to cut off your head. Shave it. Thou shalt shave your head. You shall remove your head from where it used to be. Even if it is literal hair, you need to remove your hair. The hair of captivity, the hair of sin. When they captured Samson, the first thing they did was to remove his head. They removed the hair that was in his head because that hair grew under anointing. It means that when a man is growing under anointing, his head resembles who is the head of his head. Samson's hair was removed because the hair were growing under anointing. But the Bible says Samson's hair grew again. When you remove your hair, the new hair will grow again to show that you are now in Christ. Have you removed your head? There is a struggle between you and Jesus because you have not removed your hair. What's the second thing you must do? The Bible says, you shall pale her nails. the nails, the claws of evil, the claws of anger, the human nature. You are the one to remove the claws. You know the claws that Satan gave you. You know when Nebuchadnezzar became wild, he had claws like eagle. He was in the wild for 7 years. That nature of Satan, you shall pay your nails. You shall be well trimmed. It's a culture in the kingdom. It's a necessity in the kingdom that you should pay your hair. I mean, you should cut off your hair, shave your hair, and pay your nails. God will not do this for you. I say, God is not meant to do this for you. You are the one to do it. And I want to ask you, have you done it? Are you doing it? God wants to have intimacy with us, but not without certain conditions. God wants you to pay your nails, cut off your claws of evil, your attachment, the nails you grew under Satan, where you were coming from. Several of us are in the kingdom, but we're still having the claws of evil, the claws of anger, the claws of wickedness. The claws are there. The Bible says, pay your nails, but you pay the nails where? Not out there. You cut off your hair and your head where? Not out there. When he had brought her home to thy house. It is in the house we do those things. This is discipleship method. These are discipleship processes where you shave your hair and you pay your nails, but you are the one to do it. And I want to ask you, have you done that? Have you done that to give Jesus your unreserved attention? Number three condition. And she shall put the raiment of captivity off her, and she shall. Not you. Not Jesus. You. Not Jesus, it's you that should do this. And thou shalt put away the remnant of captivity from yourself. So God went to war. God captured you. He likes you. He saw you from afar. He brought you home. But once you are brought home into the kingdom, these things must be done. Your hair must be shaved. Your nails must be peeled. You must put away the remnant of captivity. Several people in the kingdom today, their garment of captivity are still there. The self-life is still there. When Lazarus was brought out of the grave, the first instruction Jesus gave is remove the grave cloth. A lot of people are still in the kingdom, but with the grave cloth of sin, the grave cloth of religion, the grave cloth of culture, tradition. He said, well, in my culture, we cannot marry a Yoruba man. In my culture, we don't marry people from Anambra, from our culture. We don't marry Imolite, people from Imo. We don't. No. You see, your garment of captivity were not put off from you. And so you would take time to get married. You are not walking according to the culture of the kingdom. What are the three conditions that must happen to you before Jesus will have intimate relationship with you? Number one, you must shave your head or your hair. Number two, you peel your clutches, your nails, your claws, all those long claws that you have grown over time. They need to be shaven. And then number three, you need to put away the remnant of captivity. I wish I have time to deal with them one by one. What instrument do we use to shave the hair? A very sharp instrument. What instrument do we need to peel the nails? A razor or a cutting. So you need sharp instrument, and this sharp instrument is the word of God. Once you are brought home, you will need the word of God to peel your nails. You need the word of God to peel your hair and to peel your head. Everything that must happen to you, it is the sharp instrument of God's word that will begin to do that. Number three, she shall put the remnant of captivity from her. You see, a lot of Christians today, religion has taken over everything. Christianity has been, mingled with religion. You find people today who are not straightforward. The remnant of captivity is still there. They are not totally sold out. You know, they serve Christ when they feel like. When the shoes, when shoes come to shop, they cannot follow anymore. And so we cannot do that. It's because the remnant of captivity, we're not removed. You cannot be a disciple when you have not been shaven, when your nails are still there. I'm dealing with spiritual nails, spiritual entanglement, things that were in the world, you still bring them. Thought, immoral life, nails, things that you have not dealt with, they are following you. You say, I'm a Christian. You are not, because you have not peeled your nails. You have not put away the remnant of your captivity from you. These things God is not meant to do for you. Why should these three things be easy for you to do? Because of his love. Don't forget that he saw you. He wanted you from afar. He had brought you home and you are misbehaving. Several people, when they were out there, Jesus loved them and Jesus brought them in. And once they get into the church, they join choir. They join Bible study. And since then, though they joined, the remnant of captivity were never removed. Never removed. And so today, we don't know who is a Christian and who is not. And the preachings and the teaching today are not showing men who they are. They are Christians, but with immoral lives. They are Christians, but 419. They are Christians, but they do betting. They do ninja bet, and they say they are Christian. They do all kinds of funny ways to get money. They say they are Christian. You are not. Your nails have not been pierced. Your garment of captivity are still on you. Can't you feel it? Can't you smell that you are still a captive? Can't you see that the devil is still having a field day over you? I want us to take the last condition and then draw to a place of prayer. She shall put away the remnant of her captivity from off her. And she shall remain what? In thy house. She shall remain in thy house and bereave her father and her mother a full month. She shall distance herself from her former fathers. She shall distance herself from her former mothers because she has a new mother in Christ. She shall distance. You see, your father and your mother here is the works of the flesh. She shall mourn. She shall cry. She shall weep for the flesh. Jesus have caught you and brought you into the kingdom. Are you changing? Are your remnant with you? Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord forever? And we are asking you now, do you bewail your father and your mother of the flesh? Did you tell the flesh goodbye? Have you kissed sin bye? Or you are still mingling? You mingle. You say, we're in church. You go to church on Sunday, spiritual. But on Monday, you are carnal. You have a boyfriend. You play tricks. You collect money from this brother. You collect money from this sister. You do things secretly. They say, well, nobody knows. The garment of captivity. You have not bewailed your father. You have not bewailed the flesh to say, goodbye. I am a new creation. And why are we combining Christianity with religion? Why are we combining Christianity with evil works? It is because we are not grateful. If you were grateful to know that you are a captive, you were once upon a time a captive, I have no right to touch the Bible. I know it. I feel it. I know. I was so lost in sin. And God brought me in. And he gave me opportunity to touch his word. Why will I not be grateful? The reason you must avoid sin is when you are grateful to the Lord. A grateful heart to remember where you were, who you were. Some people ask me the other day, sir, why is it that you are everywhere? You want to do God's work. You are here. You are connecting this. You are doing this. I said, I just want to show God I'm grateful. I'm forever grateful. It's just to be grateful. I just want to be grateful for all eternity that, Lord, you saw me among the captive. 7.2 billion people on earth, but God brought me in the midst of that crowd. God pointed me out. God took me out. I have to be grateful. My service to the Lord is because I want to be grateful. I'm not looking for anything. I just want to tell the Lord for all eternity, thank you for seeing me among the captive. Thank you for desiring me. And thank you for bringing me home to make me your wife. I want to be grateful. That is the reason I avoid sin. Anybody who avoids sin because of his pastor, you have not met the love of Christ. The love of Christ has not melted you. Intimacy with God is only possible when you appreciate how far he had brought you. God went to war. As we pray this morning, he saw you in the midst of the captives, lost in sin. He desired you and he brought you home into his kingdom. He brought you so that he can peel your, you can peel your nails. You can shave. Now look at this. Look at the next verse. You know, the Bible says, and thou shalt go into her and be her husband. Do you see now? God wants to sleep with us. God wants to have that intimacy. But he cannot do it unless you have done these four things. Have you peeled your nails? Have you shaved your hair? Have you changed your garment? Have you mourned for your father? If you have not done these conditions, you cannot be his disciple. You cannot be, even though you are a preacher, even though you are a choir master, even though you cannot, if you have not kissed sin by, if you are not dead with the flesh, you cannot. The Bible says, and after that, thou shalt go into her. Intimacy with God is a function of the prices you are paying. Cleansing yourself. Worship. Today, nobody preach about sin. Everybody in Nigeria is a Christian. The preacher today just made everybody feel good, feel cool. Everybody is having a cozy time. We're crying for revival, revival, revival. But nobody's talking about repentance. How can we be that wicked? That's not the Bible process. No. John the Baptist, a foreigner, came to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus now came. Jesus came with a revival because John the Baptist went ahead. If there is no forerunner to bring about the message of repentance, there cannot be a revival anywhere. Jesus cannot come in revival unless there is a John the Baptist. Why should we be crying for revival? It's because nobody is talking about sin. Men are filled with iniquity, hypocrisy. You can't trust people. People are insincere. Their yes is not their yes. And Christ wants to sleep with you. Christ wants to have an intimacy with the church. That intimacy is not possible until the church cleans herself, change her raiment of corruption, change her attitude and lifestyle, use the word of God to pale her nails, pale her hair, cut off her hair, cut off everything that belongs to the world so that the church can be for God. God wants you without any inclusion. God wants you without any attachment. God wants you to be the way you are. There are a lot of attachment. Attaches. You attach yourself to the world. The church attach yourself to all kinds of things. No. No. Intimacy is not possible unless a man has pale nails. Unless a man has submitted fully to the dealings of God. Intimacy is not possible. Look at that verse 30 before we pray. And afterward, thou shalt go into her and be her husband. Christ wants to be our husband. Christ wants you to have intimacy with him. But it is not possible unless you pale your nails. Unless you change your garment of corruption. Unfaithfulness. Even you know, the place of your work, when you go late, you don't write that you were late. You falsify documents. You falsify numbers. You are not straightforward. You collect, you know, all kinds of recharge cards from people. No, Christ cannot have intimacy with you like that. It will be that afterward, thou shalt go into her and be the husband. Oh, this morning we want to pray. Want to pray, want to ask you, do you desire Christ to be your husband? Do you desire intimacy with God? Will you want to be grateful to the Lord this morning? You are saying, Lord, you went to war, you saw me as a captive, then you desire me, number two, then you want me to be your wife? The Bible says, then thou shalt bring her home. Christ has brought you home to the church. But he has not brought you home to the church to just be a church member. He brought you home so that you can be discipled, so that you can be pale. We have seen the place of you pale your nails, all right? You pale your nails and you shave your hair. These are processes that require the word of God, a sharp instrument. And the word of God is God's instrument for making disciples. This morning, intimacy with Jesus. Intimacy. God wants to marry us for his son, but it is not possible. Marriage without responsibility. Several of us, we want to be married to him, but we don't want to be responsible. When he saw the disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They were like his wife. He cooked for them in John 21. He was with them all the time. Why? Because they were willing to let go of their net. He said, follow me and I will make you. The Bible says, immediately they left their net. If he is going to have intimacy with you and with me, we must pay our nails. We must shave our hair. We must put away the raiment and the garment of captivity. We must choose to remain in his house. And then we must be ready to bewail the old man, the flesh, and let it go. These are the conditions this morning. These are the issues this morning. And I want you to pray. Two prayer points this morning. I want us to pray. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I want intimacy without responsibility. Many of us, you say, Father, I declare that I love. But there's no responsibility. You don't take responsibility for loving him. You don't do anything to show him that you love him. Singing a song is not enough, my friend. Your heart must be it. You know, there's a story in the book of First Kings, where Sennacherib came, you know, and told Ahab that your wife is mine. Sennacherib came with 32 kings, with himself 33, and besieged Samaria, and told Ahab that, Ahab, your wife and your children and your money and your gold and your silver, they are all mine. when Ahab saw the number of kings, Ahab said yes. With I think 14,000 chariots. Ahab said yes, they are yours. Take it. Why? Because Ahab knew he cannot fight this man. He cannot. But when the man came back the second time, he went further to say that, look, everything you have in the temple is up. Ahab said, no, I don't want again. Ahab that said, yes, my Lord, before, change his mind. Ahab now saw the real thing. Before he said yes, many of us will just say yes. Father, yes, I love you, I love you. When shoes come to shove, you remove your hand. We found the Red Sea. When Moses came, he stretched his hand with a rod, the Red Sea parted and the cross. But when Moses passed the Red Sea, that repented for them to pass, the Red Sea came together again and killed. The same Red Sea that opened for others to pass, the same Red Sea came and, you know, flushed out all the armies of Pharaoh. What kind of intimacy without responsibility is this? We are calling Jesus as Lord, but he's not Lord anywhere in our heart. He's not Lord. He cannot tell you to quit sin. He cannot tell you to quit a relationship. There is no price. What kind of Christianity is this? He has seen you from afar. He brought you home a beautiful bride. He desired to sleep with you. He wants to have an intimacy with you, and he wants you to be his wife. He only asks you to shave your head. How difficult is that? He only tell you to use his word and sanctify your heart. How many of us are reading the word? How is the word cleansing you this morning? Did it cleanse you? Some of us visit the Bible once in a week. You just read it to just, you know, fill up and, you know, feel cool. Not because you love him. The word of God is not, you know, attractive to our heart. It is because we don't understand his law. Intimacy without responsibility is not possible. Let us pray this morning. Can I allow you to pray? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm around the church, but I don't take responsibility for intimacy. Lord, help me to take responsibility for intimacy. Intimacy comes with a price. He wants to sleep with us. God wants you to know him more. Brother, you can know him more than you know him now. I say you can know him more than you know him now. Hallelujah. Our callings, our purposes can be better than they are now. He said, thou shalt bring her home to thy house. Many of us have been brought from out there into the house, but we are not using the word. And she shall shave her head. They are giving her instrument to shave. She was a captive. She had no weapon. She had no knife. She had no razor blade. When she came, she was given something to pay her nails. They didn't ask her, go and buy. No, they said, and she shall pay her nails, which means that the sharp instrument was given. Are you praying? And the sharp instrument is God's word. But we are not using it. You are not using the word of God to cut your long nails of anger. You are a Christian for 10 years. You are just the same thing every year. Every year, the same anger. You say you are going to heaven, except there is another heaven. The heaven of heaven that we are going. You don't just go the way you like. The way you were in secondary school, the same sin, you are still confessing. Say, I'm going to heaven. You are not going to heaven. There are not two heaven. Only one heaven. Only those who are using the word of God to pay their nails, to cut off their hair, to those who are changing their raiment, and those who are mourning and saying goodbye to the flesh. These are the people. Two prayer points this morning. Are you out there and you have not been brought home? You want to be brought home. You want to pray for salvation. As many that want to give their life to Christ, and as many that want to become disciples, we want to pray for you this morning. Lord, in the name of Jesus, those on Facebook, those on Telegram, those on any of our handles this morning, we are asking those who have not been brought in, but you love them from afar. Lord, you have seen them. You have seen a destiny in them. You saw greatness. You saw goodness. You saw what you can make of them. You have seen them from afar. You saw that they will be a beautiful bride, and you have desired them to bring them in. Lord, we pray this morning. Oh, grant them salvation. Grant them a new heart. Grant them a new birth. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. As they decide for you this morning, save them to the uttermost in the name of Jesus. Secondly, this morning, I want you to pray. Are you in the kingdom? And yet you are not a disciple. A disciple is one who is following Jesus every day. Every day. And is following Jesus because he's already intimate with him. He is a disciple because discipleship produces intimacy with responsibility. Many people are in church. They don't know what it means to be a Christian. They know that they go to church, they read the Bible when they like, but they are not following Jesus. There's so much church in their life, but there is less of Jesus. Too much church, less Jesus. But we're praying this morning, say, Lord, may there not be too much church in my life and less of Jesus. May Jesus be more pronounced in my life than my church. A lot of people take denomination in their head, but Jesus is not on their head. And we are praying this morning, Lord, I am already in the kingdom, but I am not your disciple. I don't pay my nails often. I don't use your word, the sharp instrument to train my nails, to cut off the hairs of captivity. I want you to pray this morning, Lord, help me to be a user of your word. This is the only instrument you have for those who have been brought in. Prayers in the name of Jesus. The instrument of your word, the sharp instrument of your word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your word will become the reality in our heart and in our minds. We will be men and women who are using your word on a daily basis to pale our long nails whenever the nails of iniquity is trying to grow out with us, cut it off by the power of your word. Thank you, gracious Father. To you alone be glory and praise. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, most wonderful name, we pray. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
Your heart of the Spirit control. You can only be blessed at a peace and sweet rest as you yield.